This is John Stanley of Creature Features, and you have just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James with Monsters from the Basement. Tonight, we're in Butler, Pennsylvania at the Monster Bash, and I'm talking to legendary horror host John Stanley. How are you doing today?
A legend in my own mind, or do you think the rest of the world would agree with that?
They probably would. You having a good time at the Monster Bash?
Yes, I am. This is my first visit here. Ron Adams invited me to drop in, and I'm quite surprised at the size of the convention, the scope, the people here. It's really been a fun event.
When did you first start doing your horror host show?
Well, I was walking down a street one day, minding my own business. No, actually, it started in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's really one of those classic and historical shows, like many others, called Creature Features. And it started with a fellow by the name of Bob Wilkins, who had really worked at a Sacramento TV station as an executive, but he had such a remarkable, droll sense of humor that one of the other execs said, "Why don't you take some of these old horror movies we have in our library and using your sense of humor, introduce one of them." It was going to be a one-shot joke. And Bob did so well with it, they had a high rating come Monday morning, that they asked him if he'd like to do it once a week. And out of that came Bob's first show in Sacramento for that lasted 2 or 3 years. And then he moved to the Bay Area, an executive at KTVU Channel 2 in Oakland, California, Jack London Square, came up with the idea of bringing Bob in from the Sacramento market and not putting him into the late Saturday night after the news, midnight or beyond, but put him into prime time and let the show compete with NBC and CBS and the other major networks at that time. And Bob's ratings were very high. He sometimes beat out the regular network stations. That he became a real legendary figure in the San Francisco Bay Area world of television, and he lasted 8 years. And after 8 years, he was growing a little weary of it. He was also playing a Captain Cosmic Monday through Friday, so he had two separate shows. Plus, he was still doing a show in Sacramento. And he had his own PR agency, advertising agency. He just wore himself out and asked me if I'd like to take over the job. I thought he was kidding me at first because I was a newspaper man. I had no experience in the world of television. But through odd set of circumstances, I met the executives at Bob's insistence. They wanted to audition me, and next thing I knew, I was the new host of Creature Features and proceeded to do the show for 6 more years. So Creature Features lasted for 14 years, and it's still a very fondly remembered program today. Whenever I'm at these various shows, such as this Monster Bash, there's always those who have the fond memory of growing up on Saturday night watching the show with mom and dad or with brother, sister, with girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever generation they were from. And that fondness never quite goes away. It's always going to be there. So it helps to keep the spirit of the idea behind Creature Features alive. It's alive and living, even though it's been dead for 30 years.
Yeah, I know I have some fond memories of the late 60s and early 70s, staying up, like you said, on Saturday night watching a show called Creature Feature in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, you had to be home, James, because there was no VCR unit yet. They didn't exist. But as soon as the world of television began to change, and the coming of the VCR tape, of course, was part of that change, as soon as we saw the coming of cable television, this is really what was eventually undermine the old-fashioned Creature Feature show as it existed back then. What happened was these things were predicated on movie packages. You had to have a package of movies so you could do your presentation, once every Saturday night. And when cable television came in, the syndicated idea of keeping your projection to a limited range, to a geographical area, that dissipated away, and so the film package no longer worked for the various independent television stations, and it heralded the doom of the creature feature kind of show.
What do you think it is about those old movies that keep people coming back and coming back, watching them over and over?
Well, a lot of the older movies are pretty well done compared to some of the modern movies. They hold up better than modern films. I think there's a bit of nostalgia there. There's a lot of us who have grown to like black and white movies. You know, there are new generations coming along who seem to think if it isn't in color, it can't possibly be worth watching, you know, with your own eyeballs. But we all know better. And I think that feeling for those old films, and by God, discovering how good some of them really are, and they're different from modern movies. They touch us in different ways. The characterizations are different. They deal with some old traditions in our society that no longer are here. You know, generation after generation, we change. We become a different nation of people. And we're seeing glimpses into the past. And sometimes once we've lost something, we have that feeling of loss and we want to retrieve it. We want to feel it again. We want to experience again. And I think that's one of the reasons that we go back to the older films.
Now, in the recent years with the internet, there's been a lot of horror hosts pop up, like Mr. Lobo, Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, there are some like Count Gore. They have their own internet offerings, you know. And there's a horror host continuum and a horror host underground, and people who assume these different characterizations and roles. And there's a new magazine out. Mr. Lobo has a new magazine called Horror Host and Creature Features. He and Dixie Della Morto are the editors of that. And they're trying to bring this new kind of underground horror host world into perspective so that you can get a feeling for who these people are and what they're up to these days.
Now, you've got a couple projects you're working on too, right?
Yes, I'm always trying to bring out something new on DVD, sometimes my old programs. I just brought out a two-disc set of my mini-movies. I used to, during the Creature Features days, to get out of the studio, would try to make a short pastiche of a Hollywood-type movie, using people like Chuck Norris, Richard Roundtree, Lee Grant, Carol Kane, others of that type. Who are available. Don Coscarelli and Angus Grimm played the tall man in one of my shorts. So I thought I'd bring these together as a collection. I also just finished a documentary interview with Eddie Muller, who is called the Czar of Noir, film noir. That's another, we were talking about the popularity of old horror films. Well, there's a popularity for the old crime films of the 40s and 50s that were made in black and white. That showed the underbelly of the American culture, and it dealt with men and women who walked that tightrope between law and disorder, and women who would do anything to get what they wanted, femme fatales, using sex and their sexual power to get what they wanted. Films like The Killers and so on with Burt Lancaster. These are very popular, and Eddie has put together a film festival every year, the Noir City Festival. And he draws more people to his film festivals than any other festival. His last festival in San Francisco drew 13,000 people in 10 days. So he set new records. And so we have a new documentary that deals with that. And my next project is a book entitled The Gang That Shot Up Hollywood, which will be a collection of my interviews that I did when I was a newspaper man with some of the action icons such as Jimmy Stewart, Chuck Norris, Robert Mitchum, and Clint Eastwood. So I'm hoping that a heavily illustrated book featuring some of these action stars and some of the femme fatales too, such as Jane Russell and Lauren Bacall, will liven things up in a sexual way.
I appreciate you taking some time talking to me. I know you got people waiting here to talk to you and interview you, but I wish you the best of luck with your future projects.
Well, thanks, James, and good luck with your exploration of the world of creepy characters, and I'm glad to be one of them.
Thank you very much.